This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Crank up the radio.
Today is the day.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Rich Eisen.
He's a different cat. He's a tea sipper that is in touch with his deep thoughts.
Rich Eisen.
Stop busting up my flow. All right.
Earlier on the show, Lions defensive end Aiden Hutchinson, ESPN senior writer Don Van Natta Jr., Buccaneers wide receiver Chris Godwin. Coming up, Fox Sports college football analyst Mark Ingram. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, yeah. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've got Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, now a colleague of Mike Del Tufo's at Fox Sports.
Yeah.
Maybe in closer proximity to you, he'll win an Emmy.
I feel bad.
And maybe we'll ask him, tell us how it feels.
Wow.
Because we're not drafting off of Mike here.
Oh, wow.
That's all right.
We haven't been. We will. Rich.
We're knocking on the door.
We're busting through.
You know, just like Washington Commander/football team /R-word fans have been knocking on the door over and over and over again, knowing it's never going to be answered. Dan Snyder's not selling the team. Today's a day that it's going to sell. It got approved by subcommittees or whatever, lawyers or whatever. And now the owners are voting on it in Minnesota. And in case anybody out there in Washington, a fan of this team, thinks, it's one big okey-doke. They're just going to, they're going to get jilted at the altar, and Dan Snyder's just going to burst through like the old Kool-Aid guy through the wall, going, I'm here. I'm still here.
Hey, Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm still here. It's not happening.
I never thought that dude would sell.
It is going to happen. That tree in the forest that falls is making a noise. And here's the latest. Tom Pelissero, because it's a home game for him. It's in Minnesota, the membership meeting. He is reporting Jerry Jones, Dan's last BFF,
Dan's
apparently
last
in the
buddy.
League,
Yeah. Saying
about the approval. Quote, I think it's going to be a great day for the NFL, says Jerry Jones. And he also says he looks forward to the Cowboys going into Washington and delivering, quote unquote, capital punishment this fall.
Oh,
tip
boy.
Your waitresses. Hey, everybody. Because, there's a capital of the United States. It's Washington, D.C. He's making jokes.
I mean, why are we giving them locker, like, hey, stuff to put
that's
up on the walls?
That's not
now.
It. He's just having a good time as the door hits his buddy Dan on the ass on the way out.
This takes a nice chunk out of the pie.
Looks like it.
I mean, he's a Jerry Jones.
Wow. Yeah. It's just like, okay, Dan's
see
gone.
And Jerry's making jokes.
Out the door. So if I thought like Jerry would be like, hold on a minute, we need to look at the fine print. We're gonna have to check right. things out here. Right. We'll have a conversation in this meeting. No, it's just like, it's a great day.
Bye-bye.
But Jerry's giving them bulletin board material, and the camp hasn't even started yet.
Gray skies are going to clear up. Put on a happy face.
Hey.
Yeah. Beware. Just the fact that Josh Harris is coming in and the players don't have anything, and it's over. All of it. Open the window and get the cross breeze in and get it all out.
Air it out. I like your idea, though. That's goodwill, good faith to that fan base.
Yeah.
Like, open it up.
Yeah. First
and you
things
never
first.
Know. You might get some good ideas.
Sean Taylor's got a new statue.
That's
mandatory.
That's mandatory.
Monstrosity.
First order of business.
Like, who thought that was a
good idea?
Piece
of garbage that was.
Who was like, yeah, let's put this out in front of our fan base.
His face. They didn't even put on the right uniform.
Amazing.
Come on.
But Rich, can I ask you something? You said something about changing the name. Like, I have, unfortunately, some friends who are Washington fans, and I don't know necessarily that's what some of them want, is that
guess
name
what?
Change.
They should get it. What, do they like Commanders?
Nobody can like
who
Commanders,
like
right?
Commanders.
Well, I think I'm going back to
who
the
does?
Original name that a lot of them are still kind of stuck on.
Well, they should. That ship has sailed.
True.
That ship has sailed. I don't know what to call it. And by the way, Major Tutty, come on.
Major Tutty.
Get out of here.
Yay.
Just change it all. Like, literally, nothing should remain.
There's video. Jerry Jones said this
as he came up the escalator. Hey. He's wearing shades. He pops up the escalator. Gonna be a great day for the NFL.
Yeah, hey, everybody.
Capital punishment.
Hey.
Hold on, we're gonna get this.
Yeah, baby.
Oh yeah.
Just comes up the escalator.
Oh,
did he
man.
Take? Did he put on the shades like?
No, they
like
were
Caruso.
They were on the whole time.
Oh yeah,
always like, the best.
Like Biden giving thumbs up this with the shades
is,
on, like a, like Mickelson.
This
hey.
Is amazing,
Uncle Jerry.
And he's
damn
supposed,
act together.
He was supposed to be the guy, right? He's supposed to be in Snyder's corner, right?
Yeah, he was protected him for a long time.
I guess Jerry's like, look, there's only so much I could do.
Yeah. Meanwhile.
Like Goodfellas.
Meanwhile, in the National Football League's National Football Conference Eastern Division, it is front and center, right there. The New York Football Giants, home of the running back pay scale controversy. I understand Las Vegas is in that boat with Josh Jacobs and the aforementioned Jerry Jones with Tony Pollard, but there's all due respect to those last two running backs. Saquon's different. Saquon had a dynamite college career that everybody watched. Saquon was a second overall pick in the draft. Saquon should have been comeback player of the year last year. He lost out to Geno Smith. Could you imagine you're the one who goes through the knee rehab and all the questions about your abilities any longer because your body can't hold up to the rigors of the National Football League and you're a quadzilla and you're like, are you kidding me? My body's not going to stand up. I just got unlucky in Soldier Field and I got unlucky on other days in the NFL. I'm the one who's washed up. I'll show them. And you lose comeback player of the year to a guy who wins it because he's coming back from the bench. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Geno Smith won comeback player of the year, and he was healthy the year before.
Yeah. And the year before that.
You're coming back from being overlooked. You're coming back from lack of opportunities. That's what you're coming back from? Okay. So, Saquon, I think people saw last year in the playoffs. Saw all year long. Daboll was able to roll the dice in places like Tennessee in week one and roll out Daniel Jones all filled with confidence in the first week of the playoffs in Minnesota because of the consistency all year long thanks to somebody who showed up and had his best season, most consistent season. I'm not talking about Daniel Jones. I'm talking about Saquon Barkley. And then the other reason why people focus in on him is because he's such a good dude.
Yeah.
He is exactly who you want to be the face of your franchise. Exactly the guy that you want to be the second overall pick coming into your community and ingratiating himself in that community because he's so available. And now he is reduced to bitterness by this whole process. What's the name of this podcast again? Sorry, I'm the Money Matters Podcast. There's no disrespect to those who run the Money Matters Podcast. I do believe money does matter. Okay. And as you know, I'm a big podcast guy. All right. But Saquon said this, I believe, in the days leading up to the franchise tag being the one that he has to play under or not at all. And you could see he was already getting exasperated before time even ran out. This got posted earlier this week.
This is my leverage. My leverage is I can say f*** to the Giants. I can say f*** to my teammates and be like, you want me to show you my worth? You want to show you how valuable I am to the team? I won't show up. Right. I won't play it down. And that's a play I can use. Anybody knows me knows that's not something I want to do. But like, it's something that crossed my mind. It's like, I never thought I would ever do that. But like, now I'm in a point where it's like, Jesus, like I might have to take it to this level. And like, am I willing? Am I prepared to take it to the level? I don't know. That's something I got to sit down and like, I got to talk to my family. I got to sit down and talk to my team. Got to really, you know, strategize about this. Can't just like go off of emotion. I can go there. I can go to war, try to get as much money as I can. But yeah, at the end of the day, like I said, what really matters is winning and winning a championship. And I know if I'm able to help bring a championship to New York, that's going to go miles more ahead than this contract.
So congratulations to the New York Football Giants, you know, who I've grew up watching this organization and knowing this organization and knowing, you know, the owners of the organization and what they stand for and who they are. And I do not take any pleasure in saying this, but congratulations to them. They took Saquon Barkley and made him the a-hole. That's what they did. Walter Payton, Man of the Year nominee for the Giants in February. And we got to think about you long term. We got to pause. We got to mind our P's and Q's down the line about guaranteeing contracts and not giving you all of the guarantees and all of the stuff that you want. Yeah, we got to hit the pause on it and make you swallow something that we know you don't want to swallow and turn you into the a-hole. Like what I just saw and heard from Saquon Barkley is so against his brand. Saying the words, I've got to say F you to my teammates.
I don't think I've ever heard him curse.
Is so beyond what he's about. But this whole scenario and sequence and emotional negotiation has caused him to say those words into a microphone. Congratulations. I'm assuming whatever was done, I don't know. That's the issue with commenting on stuff like this, is I'm not in the room. I do not know what was asked for and what was rejected and what was agreed upon and what made it all fall apart at the end. I do not know. So if I am not completely aware of everything, and the Giants do have a leg to stand on this, I apologize. But from this point of view, the public relations wise, for sure, you got a problem, the Giants. And I understand he comes back and he plays under the franchise tag and they go happy-go-lucky down the road in 2023. This isn't much of a conversation until 2024. I understand that. Because I do believe Saquon's going to show and he's going to play, because he won't say F you to his teammates. He won't. He will not. And I think maybe the Giants know that deep down. And took a stance that eventually led them to look in the mirror or have a conversation in a meeting room and go, this isn't going to play well for us. And this doesn't play well maybe in the locker room for all the folks who love Saquon. And it doesn't play well, you know, with Saquon. But we've got to do this about year two. We can't give on year three. We can't do this sort of stuff. And, you know, we can't reset a market. We're not going to be that team to do it. And so it's better to stand our ground on this front and take the slings and arrows on that front rather than leave Saquon Barkley happy and not turning into somebody we don't recognize on a podcast. That's the phrase, you know, like, hey, treat me right. Don't turn me into the a-hole. Mm-hmm. When you're the ones being that, don't turn me into that. Do the right thing. Well, Walter Payton, Man of the Year. Nominee, Saquon Barkley. Just said that into a microphone. That's what this has devolved into. And, you know, I read on Twitter, and I follow RG3, who is a favorite on the show. He counseled the players to strike over this issue. And as somebody who lost all his hair in the 2011 lockout, obviously, I'm not the one involved. I'm not a running back in the NFL. I am, as you know, caping quite a bit for the running backs here. They deserve to be paid in the manner on a scale for sure compared to wide receivers. Come on. That's what I feel. Now, striking over the issue, first of all, getting all the players together to say, we're going to forego paychecks and we're going to go forego a season just so the running backs like Saquon Barkley can get paid $16 million instead of $10 is 100%. No. One infinity percent. The worst thing you could say to a football fan.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's no football because you're striking over the fact that a running back has to make $16 million over 10? And again, they're fighting within their system for what's right. And what is right is for Saquon to be paid and Josh Jacobs to be paid. But striking over the issue, I could not have disagreed with Robert more, and happy to have him on to talk about it when he's free next. I'll hit him up. But I also saw something that Dominique Foxworth said, and he said something that Michael Robinson, I'll give him credit, even though I don't know if he said it yet publicly, so I'm sorry if I'm saying something that you haven't said yet publicly, Mike Rob, but I'll give you credit. I hadn't thought of this. He told this to me when I was at the NFL Summit with my colleagues the other day. There's something in the NFL called performance-based pay, a performance-based pay program. Do you know what that is?
I do not.
It is something that was collectively bargained in 2002.
No.
And has been passed down through, according to the NFL, three subsequent collective bargaining agreements. It is for players who on the field have gone beyond, based on their on-field performance, beyond what their draft round that they were picked in and contract that they're on pays them. Believe I would go through how you decide which players are on this program, get to be eligible for extra money in this program.
I would hope Brock Purdy last year.
He's not in the top 25.
Really?
I've read the paragraph that describes the index, but all I know is like this is why collective bargaining agreements take forever to hammer out. That somebody would sit down from the league and the Players Association and figure out the formula by which these players are eligible to be paid and get paid. Yeah. I've read this paragraph 10 times and I still don't understand it. Just trust me that it, again, is for players and used as a supplemental form of player compensation based on a comparison of playing time to salary. Okay. And it's not part of the salary cap. It's extra. And would you guess how much money was paid out to players in performance-based pay for their performance during the 2022 season when this was announced in the middle of March, the new league year, the 17th of March in 2023? That's the press release I have. You want to guess? You got any music for this, Mike? You got some music right here?
Hold on, we'll
give you some music, and then we'll get to Mark Ingram.
My guess is it's
again,
either,
it's always Price is Right rules, closest without going over.
My guess is it's barely anything or a lot.
So go for it.
I'm gonna say $17 million.
$17 million. DJ Mikey D is in D's nuts.
$1 million.
$1 million. And now the guy who usually wins these games because he's the only one on this set who's been on the Price. Would you care to go?
Because I've never heard of this, I'm going to imagine that it can't be that much. Okay. Because Mike said a million, I'm going to go $10,000.
$10,000. Oh, okay. The closest without going over is, you can turn down the music, you, Chris Brockman. How much did you say?
$17 million.
The amount of money that was paid out, according to the National Football League, in performance-based pay for their performance during the 2022 season is $336 million.
Whoa. How have we never heard
say
that?
What? Say what now? Say what?
I mean, Marcus Epps, the safety out of Wyoming from Philadelphia, who was drafted in the sixth round of the 2019 draft, earned the most under this program, $880,384, almost doubled his salary.
What?
Yep.
I mean, obviously, I knew it wasn't $10,000. But I mean, we were joking.
And here's the crazy thing.
That's nuts.
I will read out the positions of the top 10 players who were paid. Safety, guard, center, guard, safety, guard, corner, tackle, corner. Donovan Peoples-Jones, with all due respect to the positions I just named, was the first skilled position player. Wide receiver, he was the 11th best paid player in this system, $717,642 extra on top. Why are there no running backs on this list in the top 25? That's how you make it up. Again, Dominique Foxworth said this. I heard it from Michael Robinson the first time. Have a special performance-based play for running backs. It's outside of the salary cap. Make it up to these guys. It's already in. You're paying into the program, and it's split up amongst other players.
$300 million.
Yeah.
Just to confirm, did you know about that before?
I had heard about this, but I didn't think about applying this to fix a running back situation. But Mike Robb, himself, he's the one who mentioned it to me for the first time, and then on Twitter today, I saw that.
I think Dominique said it on his podcast.
Okay, and so I'm like, honestly, I could read you out loud the index description and how they figure out who's eligible, how they pay him, and how much. I don't understand it. So there's a lot of smarter people than all of us put together who can figure this out for running backs. Do it, but don't strike, please.
Yeah, that's.
This is more of an answer than withholding services, and I understand they're upset. That's how Saquon goes from man of the year to a-hole teammate of the year, which he doesn't want to be. Could you imagine? That's how this is affecting him, and I don't blame him. We'll take a break and bring this subject up with Mark Ingram. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. If you're like me and you're on the run, you need help finding good food and eating right. And now that we're in the thick of summer, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals to support sunny, active days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track reaching your goals. If you're too busy with summer plans to cook but want to make sure you're eating well, with Factor, skip the extra trip to the grocery store and the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up too, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality you need. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy. Then get back outside and soak up the warm weather. This July, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/Eisen50 and use code Eisen50 to get 50% off. That's code Eisen50 at factormeals.com/Eisen50 to get 50% off.
Are you currently enjoying this show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Okay, we're back here on the program. We talked about at the top of the hour, it was Jerry Jones arriving to the owners' meeting, at which it is widely expected the members of the National Football League to unanimously allow the sale of the Washington franchise to go from Dan Snyder to Josh Harris. And I was waiting for a shoe to drop where one owner would show up and say, hold on a second, there's still more conversation. The reporting you're hearing that we're all unanimous and this is going to happen today. We have to have a conversation. We have to have a meeting. There's a couple of T's to be crossed and I's to be dotted. I was waiting for this shoe to drop. And if I could have chosen any owner, it would have been Jerry Jones to say, hold up. And then this piece of video just made it onto Twitter. Of Jerry Jones arriving to the meeting, roll tape.
Jerry?
Always trying to get me with a pretty woman.
Would you call this a good day for Washington fans? Potentially?
I think it's going to be a great day for the NFL and exciting. And it's I think, a hallmark day. Excited about the prospects of going into Washington and giving them some capital punishment.
I would only be different after.
Jerry Jones, everybody, is only he can.
Wow.
That's my guy. I mean,
he is.
A beginning of that video, I can only be called as, well, many ways to call it. I'll just choose old school.
Why is that?
Yeah.
Jerry Jones, man.
Jerry Jones is the best.
He's the man.
He really is.
Begins with a little objectification.
He's an 80-year-old man.
And it ends with...
Texas and Arkansas.
Yes, a little bit of jousting.
Texarkana.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. It's been a minute since we talked to this guy, and I mean, life goes by so fast. I remember when he was coming out of Alabama as a Heisman Trophy winner and covered his entire career in the National Football League, and now look who's part of the paparazzi Fox Sports.
Welcome.
All right, yeah, part of the paparazzi. Mark Ingram here on the show. How are you, Mark?
Hey, man. Hey, big love to you. Big love to the show. You know we family, and I appreciate it, man.
Are you ready to have takes, Mark, make opinions and get on the air and have people say, did you say that, and text you saying, hey, what's up? Are you ready for that? Are you ready?
Hey, thankfully, I had a great coach at my broadcast boot camp in Rich Eisen who prepared me for this life after football, of being an analyst on Big Noon Kickoff. So big shout-out to Rich. Big shout-out to everyone at the broadcast boot camp because they have prepared me for my new job that I just took.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I have been taking credit for you for about 10 years now, Mark. So that can confirm that me taking credit for you. But I'm very happy to hear this. So that's what you're going to do. You're going to Big Noon Kickoff. Charles, is Charles going to still be part of this too? You got that?
So I think Charles is a part of it.
Okay.
I think a couple times a year. You know what I mean? I don't think it's every Saturday, but I think it's a few times a year that Charles joins us as a guest.
Okay. So I'll just throw it out here right now, Mark. I mean, you know, when it comes down to it, are you going to be able to maybe criticize Nick Saban if it's worth criticizing him? Are you ready to do that, Mark? You ready to roll?
Listen, I'm going to call it how it is. I'm going to call it how it is. So I'm a straight shooter. I'm not going to fabricate it. And if I have to call out Coach, I'll let him know. You know what I mean? I'll let him know. Mm-hmm. So that's just part of the new gig. And I'm going to just call it how it is. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be truthful. And if that happens to be what happens, if that happens to happen,
yep.
I have to, you know what I mean? That's what has to happen.
Okay. Good to know that. So what is your opinion? Is it still Georgia's world and the rest of the college football world is rent paying? Or what's your two cents on that as we head through SEC Media Week right now?
Well, I think Georgia's breaking in a new quarterback. I think Alabama's breaking in a new quarterback. I think Ohio State's breaking in a new quarterback. I think if you look at who is returning, Michigan is returning 14 new starters. They're returning their quarterback who had a great year last year.
Mm-hmm.
They're returning a double-headed monster in the backfield. And I think Go Blue is kind of the early favorite.
You're just saying that to say it. You don't really mean it, do you, Mark? Really?
Man, I'm saying I like returning. You know what I mean? And they have 14 returning starters from a top defense in the country. And an offense who was big play and a quarterback who has big game experience and had success in big games. And, you know what I mean? They're returning 14 starters. Their quarterback, double-headed monster in the backfield. So I think they're the early favorites.
Mark Ingram here from Fox Sports College Football on the Rich Eisen Show. What are your two cents on the running back market in the business world of the National Football League right now, Mark Ingram? What do you got for me?
Man, I think it's criminal. I think it's a shame that we have come to this and that they're devaluing the position, and you have some of the best players in the league, regardless of position, who are coming up for long-term contracts, and they're trying to control the salaries. They're trying to control the market and devalue the position and not compensate these guys for what they have earned and what they provide to their teams. I mean, they're invaluable to the teams. The running backs are invaluable to the teams.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, you are going to need a running game and a running back to help you. And what running backs do? What do? We block. We catch. we run. All those things are invaluable and help a team win. So it's highly unfortunate what's going on. These teams are trying to devalue the running back position. They are devaluing the running back position. But the running backs all need to come together, and we need to come up with a solution, whether some of these guys aren't signing their tags, some of them won't be there, and I guarantee you that the teams will not be as good off without these runners as they would with them. So shout out to Josh Jacobs. Shout out to Tony Pollard. Shout out to Saquon Barkley. I hope they get their money. I hope all the running backs get paid what they deserve, man, because it is truly criminal that they're trying to do our position like this.
Would you tell them to hold out?
I definitely would. I would tell them to hold out, man, because if they're not giving you something that you're comfortable playing on, now if you're comfortable playing on it, then go ahead and play. But if they're not compensating you, if you're not comfortable playing on what they're offering, then hold out and let them see how they fare without you. And I guarantee they don't fare well without Saquon. Saquon's been carrying that team for 4 years, mm-hmm. and they don't want to pay him. Josh Jacobs, the rushing champ, they don't want to pay him. See how they fare without him. You know what I mean? I don't want to ever tell someone to hold out because that money is something that you can't recoup, especially in a market where they're not valuing running backs. But at the same time, that's something that you have to do. And if you have to gamble on yourself, that's what you should do.
Did you ever have a problem with this, Mark? Because, you know, Kamara comes in, you're on the back nine of your career, you wanted certain value and you didn't get it because, you know, there's Kamara sitting there and you're sharing a running back room with him. And I'm sure, you and he are copacetic or cool. But the question is, I'm just like, walk me through situations you might have been in your career similar to this, Mark.
I think the situation with me, I played 12 years, so I was able to go back to the table and get a second deal. I was able to go back to the table and get a third deal.
Man.
And now, did I always get the value that I thought I deserved? No, I feel like I deserved, more than what I got. But did I get my max value every time I went to the table? Yes, I did. So I think that's what you can do. I think that's something that I'm proud of is did I think I got what I deserved? No, because there was people that had done less, didn't have the same numbers, who were making more money than me. But when I did go to the table, I was able to get my max value each and every time. And I think as a businessman, I think as being a professional athlete, I think that's something that you could be proud of and something that I sleep well knowing that I got my max value every time I went to the table. And I got three, four deals, you know, that's not the case with a lot of my peers. You know what I mean? A lot of them don't get to the second deals. A lot of them don't get to the third deals. And I think that's unfortunate, and I think it needs to be addressed. Maybe running backs shouldn't be tagged. Maybe running backs should have only max 2 to 3 year deals. I just think it's a criminal what's going on to the position right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is. Why are receivers getting 18, 15, 18, and then soon maybe 20, I don't get it.
You could be a number three receiver and get paid more than the starting running back on your team.
That's what Eckler said on this show last week. Exactly what he said.
It's terrible. And he's catching more passes and catching for more receiving yards and more touchdowns than the number three wide receiver. And yet his salary is 2X, 3X of what your starting star running back on your team is getting. And it's only because they're trying to control the salary of the running back. They're trying to devalue the position, and it's criminal. And it's just a shame. It truly is a shame.
You know, I mean, because I guess they see somebody coming out of college and they're able to do something similar to what you're doing as a veteran. I guess that's why they're able to do that, or they've chosen the running back position in order to do that. I mean, we had Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated on the show a couple days ago to try and give us an idea as to why it is happening. And he told a story, actually involved you, is that he said he was at a Saints practice and, you know, somebody was pointing out that Michael Thomas, can't guard Mike, touches the ball one third of the amount of times that Mark Ingram touches it, and yet he makes three times as much. And I just don't get it. I just don't, you know.
Yeah, like it sucks because, you know, running back is one of the most prominent positions in football ever since football has been around, right?
Yep.
And now you almost have kids that are in middle school and high school that play running back. You want to tell them to switch their position right now. You need to go play receiver. You need to go play defensive back. You need to try to play quarterback. You need to do anything else other than play running back, because they're not going to appreciate what you bring to the table and what you have to offer. You're not going to get value. You're not going to get compensated for what you bring to the table. And that's highly unfortunate, because running back is, I feel, the best position in football. I mean, the most retroactive position in football. You block, you run, you catch, you do – you're asked to do so many various amount of things that bring value to a team, but when it's time to pay you, there's a problem, and they don't want to compensate you properly for it. So it sucks, man. It really does. I hate it. And fortunate enough, I was able to play 12 years, but, you know, that's not the case for a lot of my peers. Nope. You know what I mean? A lot of the peers don't make it to the second deal, or maybe, you know, when they get to a second deal, they're trying to get, you know, they're trying to get their salary controlled. Their salary's getting controlled. Their contracts are getting controlled. So it's heartbreaking, and I hate it for all my peers in the NFL that play running back.
Abbott's win from within soccer clinic? You're getting out there playing soccer? Mark, what's this about? What do you got? What are you doing?
Shout out to Abbott, man. They got me going to a nutrition-focused clinic with Real Madrid players. I mean, with Real Madrid coaches. We'll be out there getting in real practice time, sometimes 11-on-11, scrimmage. So and they're giving us products that Real Madrid players use: Ensure Max Protein Nutrition Shake, 30 grams of protein, 1 gram of sugar. It's delicious, keeps me healthy, energetic, and active. And shout out to Abbott for putting on a great clinic. I can't wait to be a part of it and take some coaching and instruction from these Real Madrid coaches and go out there on the pitch and show my footy skills. So that footballers really can football. You know what I mean?
I understand. Oh, I'm picking up what you're putting down. How can fans follow along to check out what's going on?
Y'all can follow along on all my socials.
Okay.
Or Abbott Global on Instagram.
Okay.
But if you follow all my socials and Abbott Global on Instagram, you'll be able to see and follow it all weekend long, be able to follow the whole clinic, follow the whole competition, see me and a lot of other athletes and a lot of other influencers take part of the clinic. I think Austin Eckler, my fellow R Beast, will be there, Matt Leiner, and several others. So it's going to be a great time, a great opportunity. Shout out to Abbott for putting it on. Amazing opportunity and amazing clinic for us. So looking forward to it.
All right. Last one for you, Mark. I'm going to put you on the spot. Because you know I like to do that, and I know I need trust levels, right? I got the trust levels. Okay, here we go. I need a top five list from you. Top five Alabama running backs in the National Football League. I want you to include yourself. Where you put on this list? How about the last 20 years? How does that sound?
The last 20 years.
Top five Alabama running backs in the National Football League, according to Heisman Trophy winner out of Alabama, Mark Ingram. I've done, by the way, this is one of the things I would have taught you in broadcast boot camp. I've tap danced long enough to give you an opportunity to sort this out in your mind, but that time is now up. I'd like the top five list from Mark Ingram of running backs from Alabama in the National Football League in the last 20 years. You go. And we're going to put some film. I'm going to give you NFL Films music to actually get the juices flowing. There we go. I don't know if that helps, but here you go, Mark Ingram. Okay. Here's your top five. Go for it. What do you got for me?
Okay, you got Derrick Henry for sure. You got 2,000 rushing yards. You got
I got it.
You got Josh Jacobs, reigning rushing champ. I got myself, 12 years, 10,000 scrimmage yards. You got the young buck, Najee Harris. You got Eddie Lacy was offensive rookie of the year. You got Kenyon Drake. You got so many, man.
But you named seven. I need five, and I actually need you to order it, Mark. Come on now, this is having a take. You gotta have a take.
What's up, Rich? What you trying to do to me out here, man?
One through five. You have the easy out of putting number one up there. You know who number one is, Mark, right?
Yeah.
Come on, now.
It's me.
That's right. You're the OG of this entire group that you just mentioned. So let's go. Well, all right. So then, who's next? Who's next?
So then you got King Henry.
Yeah.
Then you go Josh Jacobs.
Yep.
Then you go.
Mm-hmm.
We going Najee Harris. Yep. We going Najee Harris, then we going Kenyon Drake.
Okay, there you go. There you go. That's a top five list. See, that wasn't that tough, Mark. You just did that off the top of your head.
It is tough, man, because I got to put Damian Harris in there. Yeah. I got to put Eddie Lacy in there. Mm-hmm. I got to put all my dogs in there, man. We be eating, man. The list is too long, man.
What'd you say, TJ?
Sean Alexander.
Oh, he only won MVP.
He said last 20 years.
Yeah, he won the MVP about. Yeah, I know. I hate to tell you. You know what time it is. But
he said last 20 years. I don't think Sean Alexander was the last 20 years. But you got to pay homage to those who come before you.
Okay.
Bobby Humphreys, Marlon Humphreys' father,
okay.
Sean Alexander. But he didn't say then. Or Sean Alexander.
No, I hate to tell you, NFL Network is turning 20 this fall, and Sean Alexander was the MVP while we were on the air. But that's okay. It's all right. I can. If well, then, you want a mulligan? You want
myself off? Then I'm taking myself off, and I'm putting Sean Alexander on.
That's it. That's humble.
Sean Alexander goes number one.
You are humble. But you, as you know, you can't be humble stunting on a jumbotron, Mark. You know what I mean? I just did that.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
Mark Ingram, when am I going to see you here? Are you in L.A. or you're not in L.A.? Do you live here?
No, I'm not in L.A. right now. I'm actually in Washington, D.C. at the MLS All-Star Game right now.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, great.
When I'm in L.A., I'm going to come pull up on the show because I've been telling you I was going to do that.
I know that. I know that. You're one of my favorites, Mark, and I'm so happy for you and thrilled for you that you're doing what you're doing. I look forward to seeing you this fall because, you know, they always put Michigan on Big Noon on Fox because we're the biggest draw. And so I'll be seeing a lot of you. So I'll look forward to it.
Tap in, check me out, and let me know how I can get better.
Always. Always.
Yes,
first things first is always push back on Urban Meyer when he starts trying to pump.
Oh, hey, I can't wait.
Always push back on him.
Every chance I get, I'm going to be at Urban.
Push back every single time. Thanks again, Mark. Greatly appreciated.
No, thank you, man.
Everybody check out Mark Ingram and Abbott's Win From Within Soccer Clinic and Nutrition Education Session that you can follow along on his social media, at Mark Ingram II, because he's the second, on Twitter and Instagram, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Did I freeze him by quoting Kanye, do you think?
I just think he wasn't expecting it.
How could
from
he
me or just in general?
I think just from you.
From you, yeah. All they right. Don't know how hip you are, bro.
That's true. Take a break.
What's that?
Thank you. Empty the phone banks and check on the leaderboard of the Open when we come back on this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. Back here in our show, he's going through Del Tufo in the commercial break, going through all of our favorite drops. You having fun with it, huh?
We're trying to come up with a top 10 of what we've got.
Oh, I mean, we have so many good ones. Way too hard.
It'd be hard. But this, by the way,
we're getting new systems here, though, right?
It'll be easier, hopefully.
What do you mean, hopefully? Hold on a second. Hold on a minute. As you know, I'm the one who is okaying the expensing of this material.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's still
and you
not
said
like,
you this stuff will make it easier for you to find
search.
And better.
Hopefully, Rich.
But you can't. You guys got to. No, this is the problem. You could have the best like device.
Aren't you the best? Search.
I'm literally hanging on your every word right now because
you could have the best
this
device.
Equipment
to
is
search.
Not cheap.
Hold on.
Aren't
exactly.
You the best?
And the playback, all that's great. But you still have to look. For the drop.
Oh.
You can't have
I understand
every
your searching skill.
Like, I need a computer that's like.
Listen, I look at you and I don't. In terms of searching, I look at you and I don't think Magellan, okay?
No.
You know,
your
boat's just going to strike land or it's not.
No. I'm good out on the water. I can follow the stars.
What?
Will this be a better system or
no,
not?
100%. For the playing back and all that, yes.
Find it easier.
Yes, but it will still take time to find it.
Of course.
You have to search
understand now. That. I don't think it's going to be like, how many drops do you think we have over the 9-year history?
Close
to 1,000, right?
Maybe more. We have a lot.
Okay, great. So we'll figure out the system. Certainly when you're not here and Jay Felly's here, he'll be able to find
and
it.
The labeling
as opposed to
be
you being gone and him like, you know, I have no idea what he's doing around here. That you look.
Serious people.
Okay.
New drop. I knew it.
It is a new drop.
It says serious people. I have no idea what else that was, but.
Okay.
Great job, Mike.
It's all about labels.
Boy, we're really going to be a much improved show this fall, aren't we? This is great.
We can go home now.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Here we are. Okay. There are three players in the clubhouse right now at 5-under, day one of the Open Championship. Currently, Tommy Fleetwood, I know, right? T. Fleetwood?
Oh, yeah, Tommy Fleetwood.
Tommy Fleetwood, 5-under. He went out.
The Brit played great today.
Right. Then we got also here, hold on, is that Grillo?
Emiliano.
Frank Grillo?
What is this? Hold on a minute. Emiliano.
Emiliano
Grillo.
He's
from Argentina.
Argentina.
Yeah.
Yeah. Emiliano. Also 66.
And then there's somebody who is 66, but really 6'8", right? There's a 6'8 here.
Giant.
Christo Lamprecht.
That's
out of South Africa.
A 6'8
by
golfer?
Way of Georgia Tech.
Yep.
Guy, golf. He's he's an amateur. He's 6'8", pal.
Is he the tallest golfer ever?
I mean, has Randy Johnson played golf? Has Wembanyama played golf?
Talking about professionally, this guy's it.
Professionally, yeah.
6'8".
They don't make them like that.
Well, because when you're 6'8", there's a lot of things that can go wrong from here to here.
And they can only make the golf club so big.
It's like a hockey stick.
In your back.
Yeah. He's really hunched over when he swings.
And Christo. Fantastic.
Cool name. He doesn't even have a headshot.
I wonder, is he named after the famous landscape artist?
You lost me.
How many? Have you never heard of Christo before? And you would create works of art on like
the Count of Monte.
The Count of Monte. Yeah.
We'll have to teach you people everything about culture.
Yes. Well, you know we're not very cultured here. We depend on you for
like
this
I'm
stuff.
Cultured?
Christo, no clue.
Rich is looking at us like crazy. He
literally is looking. You know we're lowbrow.
I'm just gonna stop. I'm not gonna go.
Thank you.
We've disgusted him enough.
Let's take this phone call. Cameron, where's Cameron from? I don't see.
I don't know what location.
Cameron, where are you from? Cameron, where are you from?
I am from Indianapolis.
Fantastic.
It
would have been great if you're from Chicago.
Right.
That would have been a very.
I'm with my buddy Ferris.
Very Ferris Bueller. What's going on, Cameron, in Indianapolis? What do you got?
Oh, well, earlier in the day, you mentioned that it is the anniversary of the moon landing.
It is that.
And I just wanted to remind you that that is more recent than the Jets winning a Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
So I got a what's more likely for you, Rich.
Okay.
What's more likely? Man lands on Mars or the Jets win a Super Bowl?
Oh, the disrespect. The disrespect.
You know, just for the record, Cameron and I are not related.
I understand that. Yeah. I kind of feel like Saquon Barkley here. Now he's making me. Normally, I'm man of the year material. I'm welcoming to everyone. But now suddenly, right now he's making me want to say F you to my teammates here in the studio right now. The way that you're actually enjoying this conversation.
Very funny.
It's making me upset. I'm very Saquon like right now. I think we have similar thoughts.
Oh God.
Quadzilla over here.
It's gonna happen first. The Jets win a Super Bowl, Cameron. Okay. All right.
On Mars?
This guy.
Great that you're optimistic.
Thank you very much for the call. Greatly appreciate you hanging on to troll me. Thank you very much. Before we go out the door. Well, let's check in with Aaron Rodgers, shall we? He has spoken today.
I saw this.
He has spoken today.
He looks very happy.
He was asked about the high expectations of the Jets now that he's there.
Like, fifth best Super Bowl?
I guess they're kind of maybe the New York media, the gathered media there, going a little historic in case Aaron needs any background information. He can always FaceTime me, and I'm happy to fill him in. it's been a minute. So now he's there. The expectations suddenly go from Zach Wilson to plus. Zach plus. We're just looking for Zach plus.
Coming soon.
That's what we're looking for. Zach plus. And now we got Aaron Rodgers. I mean, honestly, we were just looking for Zach plus, and we got Aaron Rodgers. Fantastic. All right, Aaron, the high expectation answer is?
Yeah, it's spectacular. I mean, that's what you want. You want to be a part of a place that has high expectations, and there's a lot of positivity around here, which I think is a good thing. But we got to temper expectations early on at camp and focus on the little things to get there. It's a long season. It's a journey. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be peaks and valleys. And I think we just got to build this thing the right way. And there's a lot of excitement, though. That is fun. An old coach of mine said our greatest difficulty is going to be handling success. And I think that'll be true this year for us, as we get into the season and have some success, we've got to handle it the right way, because obviously last year they had a good start to the season and couldn't finish it off. And if we want to be playing in January, we got to be consistent throughout the season.
Yeah, handling success. Aaron, floor is yours, pal. We'll follow your lead on that. We'll follow the lead on success in handling it. That's your table, pal. I'll just because
it is weird seeing him, dude. In Jets, it's weird.
It's insane.
You think? I can't believe it every time I see it. And he looks great.
He does. Look
he
good.
Looks great.
Because he kept his game color scheme, so it's not so weird.
No, he looks in shape. He looks engaged.
Happy.
He looks happy. He looks relaxed. He looks like the guy we wanted to show up. And when I say we, I mean all the Jets fans. And the Jets Twitter account nailed it.
Yeah, that's funny.
This is not an AI generated photo. This is real. This is actually happening. He's actually here, and he's actually looking like that, and he's smiling. And honestly, just like give him a few reps and then sit him out. Just sit him out.
Is he going to play in the preseason?
Hell no. I think he will. I don't know how to handle success. That's what I'm saying. I don't know how to handle it. I can't. That's why I'm. I'll follow his lead. You want to play in the preseason? Fine. You know, really fine. Funny. It's okay.
You can't act like you've been here before.
I don't
right?
know. Where have I been? We have been here before with Favre. That's the floor. He's the ceiling. Let's roll.
Ooh.
I can't handle it. And him just physically being there is the success of the moment. I can't handle it. All right. That'll wrap it.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Collision has been struggling a little bit out of the gate with these ticket sales.
A little bit out of the gate. This was a major show announced on a major network with what everybody thought was this huge star, CM Punk. I said he was going to be the biggest financial flop in wrestling history, and I think I'm being proven right every minute of the day.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.